in song. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. What a powerful, powerful, I say again, powerful, incredible worship set. We thank God for each one of you. I want to take this moment before I open up the Word of God and thank the church, along with the elders and the officers, for your prayers for me and my family. I want to thank you for your love and your personal touch, your care. JoJo and I, along with the family, want to express our love because you have shown your love in such a tangible way, and you've given us such a love that we cannot just dismiss. So we're blessed by just message of hope. So we thank you. We're praying for you as well. And we thank you because, as you know, I was sharing with you that my grandson passed away a couple of weeks ago, and we thank you for your prayers for our family and for my daughter and for my grandson, Dion. And I just want you to know that life will throw curves and will throw things at you, but you know we can rejoice because we have a God who cares. And then it makes it a special blessing when you have people who care about you. And so we want to let you know we love you and we thank you for your heartfelt prayers and your concerns, your calls. We were just blessed to know that, you know, when we go through times like these, to have a church family and you don't have to go through it by yourself, that's a consolation because everybody's going to go through life. I promise you that. You're going to go through something, and just to have people around you who care and people who throw and show love is a special, amazing, incredible blessing. So again, we want you to know we thank you, we appreciate you, and we love you, and may God bless you, and may God give you the desires of your heart, and may you be blessed as a result, and may you, as a result of your love, be blessed double-fold, triple-fold. Thank you again. Well, again, we thank God for being here today. I know we're here because of God's grace and God's mercy. It is about 12:22, and it is the Sabbath hours from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. We know we worship the Lord 24 hours. We're able to pause and come aside and thank God for his many, many blessings. Amen. And so for that, we thank God for the worship experience. This is part of Sabbath, worship, convocation, where we come together and we pray and we sing and we give and we offer. But this is a part of what is called a litany. This is what is called service, literary, coming together. And so let's pray together now as we seek God's blessings, as we share with you this word. And I tell you today, it's more of a thought than a sermon. And it found lodging in my heart when I heard something. It's not finished or completed, but I wanted to share with you before I finished it. I just couldn't wait. I said, I've got to start talking about this right now because it made sense. In fact, I sat down with my son and I started sharing with him the thought. And he walked away after we finished and he came back. He said, Dad, that was deep. He said, I see it now. I see it now. And that's what I hope to pray today, that it'll be so crystal clear that when you walk out of here, you'll say, I see it now. I see it now. And after you see it, I promise you, for those who are watching online and those of you who are here today, after I share this with you by the grace of God, I pray that it'll be so plain, so simple, that in order for you to be lost, it will have to be decision and not deception. You will have to want to go to hell. I mean, literally, in fact, you're going to have to do some things to avoid what I'm going to share with you to make it and miss it. But I promise you, if you do this, it'll be all right, because I know after hearing the songs that they just sang, after coming in here and hearing also the Sabbath school lesson, the theme of John, the Gospel of John, man, God really wants to save us beyond our own imagination. I want you to know right now, he loves us with an infinite, everlasting love that will not quit. And it blows my mind because I just keep tripping on God. I keep messing up on God, but he keeps on loving me. I don't know if I'm by myself, but I know God is a God of love, because if I was God dealing with me, I probably would have stopped dealing with me long time ago. I don't know about you. I would have said, brother, you're just going to have to just make it on your own, because you have worn out your nine lives. You don't have it anymore. But I'm so glad we serve a God who is not, you know, like us. Amen. So if anything, it's about 12:25. I promise you I'll quit sometime today. But I'm just happy in Jesus. No, I'm just joking. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for the privilege and the joy we have being able to worship you. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Lord, we can't merit it. It's not because of anything we have done, but it's because of your amazing grace that you keep on loving us and you keep on just showering us blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. And so, God, we want to thank you in advance for what you're going to say to us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, right before I open the word, we also want to remember the elementary school out in California. As you know, there was a shooting. And the gunman took his own life, but there were some children, the kindergarten age, I mean, young children who were shot who are in critical condition in an Adventist elementary school out in California, out west. And so we want to remember those family members and those involved in prayer, because, again, we keep saying it, but we are living in some treacherous times. We are living in the last days. Jesus is soon to come. And ever before, like never before, we need to make sure our calling and election is in, that we know Jesus. We're covered by the blood. If we die, we die in the Lord, because the Bible says, blessed are those who die in Christ from henceforth. And so let's make sure we know Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we praise God. We ask God to bless us right now. I'm asking God to make the word simple and plain, and so that as we look at scripture today, that you'll see it for yourself. They may put it on the screen, but I'm going to try to take my time to give you these scriptures, because the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It's powerful, and it is able to just do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And so I'm glad I have the word of God to lean on. That's why the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I'm glad the word of God is more powerful than any two-edged sword. It cuts, and while it's cutting you, it's cutting me. And so as we enter into the word of God, I pray that we would see Jesus. Again, I'm offering a prayer for that family out there, the families that are involved in California. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pause as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for those young children who are in critical condition in the hospital. We pause to ask you to be with the family, Lord. I can't even imagine, as mother and father, parents, going to school and hearing this information and finding out that our children are now not even safe in schools. So, God, we ask that you would be with them. We pray that you'll be even with the family of the gunman. I don't know what was in his heart. Don't know what was on his mind. We decided to try to take life and then took his own. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with that family as well. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. Now, let's look at the word of God today. And I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, right before we start, would you stand with me that we might read the scriptures together and honor God's word? Just stand with me. We're going to look at Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to ask this question. Acts chapter 4. We just want you to stretch. I know you've been sitting. This gives us a way of standing, but I want you to get this word today in you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. You can follow along. It says, now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000 people in this revival that heard about Jesus. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then old Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation. Now notice verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby or by which we must be saved. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. The Bible says, now, nor is there salvation in any other. Any other. You may be seated. God bless you. In other words, the Bible says there is no other name. There's no other name. Now, when I read this story in this pericope, I came to the end in verse 12, and immediately while I was reading this, I asked the question, why? That's entitled the sermon, why? And in fact, why is there no other name? Now, notice the Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, you people, and I say you people, I'm talking to you Christians who love the Lord, who love to walk in the light, who know Jesus Christ for yourself. I want to say you people, you make it seem like there's no other way. You make it kind of seem like there has to be only this way or no way. It seems like you're too narrow. Can't you open it up a little bit and let it be another way? I mean, think about it. The Bible says there's no other name, but sometimes people think that you're so narrow in your thinking. You don't give room for any thought to think that there might be another way, or there might be some other obstacle, other options. What is this about this name? What is it about this name? Well, in the context of the story, you know, in chapter 3, there was a lame man who was born with a problem. The word of God says he was lame, he couldn't walk, he couldn't move. In fact, the verse says in verse 22 of chapter 4 that the lame man was 40, he was about 40 years old. In fact, he was messed up. If he was born that way and now he's 40 years old, the fact is he'd been living with this problem for a long time. So I suggest to you today, if you've been living with a long problem, there's hope for you. Amen. In other words, you don't have to get so discouraged to feel that you cannot be helped. There is hope for you and me today. I don't care how long you've been dealing with the problem. I don't care how long the problem has harassed you. But I want to remind you that if you hold fast to God and you keep your eyes stayed on Jesus, if you just hold on long enough, help is on the way. I almost started the title of the sermon, I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. In other words, if you just keep on pushing, and if you just keep on believing, and if you just keep on coming, it's something about persevering faith. It's something about pressing towards the mark of the high calling. It's something about not giving up and throwing in the towel. In fact, if you don't believe me, you're closer than you think. There will be a breakthrough. Jesus will open a door and make a way out of no way. And so, number one, I don't care how long you've been dealing with the problem. If you can just hold on long enough, I promise you, I guarantee you, and if I was a gambling man, I bet you your breakthrough will come. I believe that with all my heart. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that you have not come this far in vain? Do you believe that you have come by faith thus far? Well, the text says for 40 years, this brother had a problem, but he had enough sense to have somebody take him to the temple entrance where the word of God says Peter and John would come up there to worship. And on their way, the man was crying out for alms. He wanted money. He wanted some change. He wanted a couple of dollars. Now, this is a modern version. The modern version of this man were people who hold up signs asking for help because of their situation. And the same thing is here. This man was asking for help because of his situation. And I'm so glad that when he went by and saw, when Peter and John saw him, they simply said, you know the text, silver and gold we do not have, But what we do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Now, that's powerful right there. I know we assume that that's just something normal. No. Can you imagine having that kind of power and somebody's lame and you just simply say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, and that person gets up? See, it was one thing when Jesus was on earth performing miracles, but now it's another thing because Jesus now has given that power to human beings, to disciples, to those who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe right now in all my heart that if we walk close enough to God and get dedicated enough to God and sold out to God, if I believe that if we become filled with the Holy Ghost, he says you're going to do greater work. I want to be able to one day when we have a ministry where we go out, and go out, Ricky, and we be going down the halls of those hospitals, I want to stop one day and say, hold on, y'all, I feel an urging. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me we got to go in this room and lay hands on somebody and pray in the name of Jesus, and they get up. I don't know if we're ready for that. Are we ready? I want to be able to say, Lord, fill us with the power of God so that we can go into hospital rooms. And I would dare say, now you say you're going beyond yourself, Pastor Bush, and we may have to walk into a funeral home one day. You say, now you didn't already gone too far. But that's what it means to have a radical faith, a faith that's unrealistic, to believe that with God all things are possible, and ask for the anointing of God. That's what these apostles and disciples did. They were so full of the Holy Ghost. On one occasion, the shadow of one of them hit a man and he jumped up and walked. I believe that God is waiting to pour out his spirit upon all flesh so that we can do these type of miracles. And I'm just speaking to that, but that's not really the message. In other words, they did this marvelous miracle they performed on that day. And the Bible says this brother jumped up, leaping and shouting. He went with them into the temple. And now they're in the temple worshiping. This brother that was lame 40 years, messed up all his life, now he's in the church shouting, carrying on, because the text says he would not let them go. He followed them. The text says they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms, but they couldn't figure it out. Verse 10, I like it right here. Notice, then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed, he held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's Porch. They were greatly amazed. He said, wait a minute, you do something like that, brother, I want to follow you and go where you worship. I want to go to your church. I want to meet your Jesus. I want to know your Lord, because I don't know how you did it, but what you did set me free. And while he's in the church worshiping, as you know, somebody is always going to try to rain on the parade. I believe it. The devil now, through the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's why by the time you get into chapter 3, the Bible says now they were worried and concerned because this man is in church. Now, verse 1 of chapter 4. Now, as they spake to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. They were disturbed that they taught in this name of the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ. And they said, why are you teaching in this name? And they said, well, hey, all we can do is do what was done. This miracle was performed by the power of God. Don't think we have anything in us that did it. It was the name of Jesus. And my question today is simply this. Why is that the case? I mean, think about it. Why is Jesus the only way out? Now, I want this to sit in your spirit because this is a thought. Why is it that I have to come to church? Why do I have to read my Bible? Why do I have to become a Christian? Why can't I just live my life, do my own thing, and be good? I mean, why can't I just be free from all of this? I mean, when you come to church, you deal with all kind of stuff. You deal with folk who get on your nerve. Well, you deal with folk on your job that get on your nerve, and you don't stop going to work. And we let stuff in the church cause us to get discouraged because the enemy of your soul knows something today that we need to know. And that is, when you're in hot pursuit of Jesus, something just might happen that he doesn't want to happen. In fact, I want to teach this because this is what the Bible says. If you don't mind, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to read with me. We got some Bible text that we're going to throw on the screen, I believe. But I want to show you today. This is a thought. I want to show you today Why? This is the question. Why? Why do I need Jesus in my life? I mean, why do I need to be a Christian? What sense does it make? What difference does it make? Why can't I just do my own thing? Well, Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 9, and out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight. Genesis 2, 9. Follow me now in your Bibles. I want to look at the Bible. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall do what, everybody? You shall do what, everybody? Come on now, you got to be with me. You shall do what, everybody? It's not a trick question. You shall die. The day you eat from this tree, knowledge, good and evil, you will do what, everybody? Die. Now, how many wants to die? Can I ask that question? How many want to die? Nobody want to die. I don't care how evil or how bad you are. Nobody wants to die. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your religion, denomination, culture, background. I don't care what your nationality, young or old. Nobody wants to die. In fact, young people understand what death is. It means to cease, to stop being who you are. And young people, I remember when I was young growing up, something happened, and the first thing I said, I don't want to die. The first thing I respond, I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. But the Bible says to Adam and Eve, the day you eat, you shall do what? You shall die. And the word says, now follow me, in Genesis chapter 3, the word says, when the devil came, he said, you shall not surely die. That's found in verse 2 and 3. And the woman said to the serpent, chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Right. But of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now listen to what the Bible says. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Yes. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of the tree, it will your eyes will be opened, verse 5, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now watch this. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, verse 6, of the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the Bible says, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Now, the Bible says they would die. Did they die immediately? No. Did they cease to be immediately? No. Adam would live to be 936 years before he would die. But they died spiritually. They didn't die physically. But the moment they ate from that tree, they died spiritually. And something happened to their very nature. Eve became the first seducer because she came to Adam and seduced him with the fruit and said, this made me what I am. Look at me. I'm feeling better. I'm looking better. Go ahead and eat. And Adam took the fruit with his eyes wide open. And the Bible says he ate of the fruit. And when he ate of the fruit, death now is pronounced on human beings. Now we die, unfortunately. Now watch what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also, Adam and his wife, the Lord God, made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now listen what the word of God says. Then the Lord God said, verse 22, I'm glad you got your Bibles, your devices. Watch what the Bible says. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand and take also of what, everybody? Of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now watch this, please. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. After Adam and Eve sinned, this is God's now response to them. He says, wait a minute. The Lord God said they have become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now less. Now there you go. When people say, well, how do you know there's a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Look at the now. Let us, like one of us. It's more than one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was them that said, let us make man in our image. It was us. It's more than just God. It was the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was Jesus, the creator of the universe. It was the Holy Spirit. And together they said, the Lord said, behold, the man had become one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Wait a minute. I thought the Bible says when the day they eat, they would die. That's what it says. And they would die. However, after Adam and Eve sinned, now watch this, after they sinned and ate from that forbidden fruit, God has to do something now to keep them from living forever in their sinful state. Oh, okay. I might be the only one thinking about that. In other words, God is so compassionate. If God does not intervene, they will be forever eternal sinners because they will have access to the tree of life. Are you listening to me? In other words, as long as they could eat from the tree of life, they would live forever. Oh, my bad. You're thinking that when God made man, inherent in man had the possibility of life himself. But I want to let you know right now, nobody has life in themselves. Even the angels' life is dependent upon the Creator. Nothing in this universe can stand or exist without God sustaining it. There must be a power from him. He's the only one that's immortal. He's the only one in him. Life is unborrowed and underived. And in this thought, we must understand that unless we get life from him, we have no life. And that's a sobering thought. You might be walking around here thinking, I'm alive, I'm okay, because death may not be at your door. That's an assumption. No, death is even at the door. No man knows the day or the hour of their expiration date. I don't know how long I'm going to be around here. I don't know how long I'm going to be on earth, but I know one day because of sin, I'm going to die. Now, is it because of sin I'm going to die? Or is it because I don't have access to the tree of life? Now listen. I'm putting this thought in your spirit. Notice what it says. The Lord said, lest they put their hand and eat and live forever. Therefore, verse 23, watch what God had to do. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground for which he was taken, and he drove out the man and placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. In other words, God, after Adam and Eve sinned, he had to put them out of the garden. He had to keep them from having access to the tree of life, lest they put their hands and eat from it and live forever. Aren't you glad? I don't know about you. I know today, right now, everybody want to live forever. But God does not want us to live forever in this fallen, sinful state. He doesn't want you living forever with this monkey on your back. He doesn't want you living forever dealing with sin that you cannot control. He doesn't want you living forever with habits that you cannot overcome. He doesn't want you living forever with the tension in your mind and the problems of dealing with life issues. For if Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life, they would have lived forever, but they would have lived forever in a fallen state. And God would never let anybody live forever in a fallen state. That's why there is no ever burning hell's fire that they teach. There cannot be a place where God would torture human beings forever, because that's not the God we serve. He is a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of kindness. Well, the question must be asked, then, how can you and I have eternal life? I mean, how do we get it? How do we get eternal life? I mean, if you're lost right now, in fact, we don't get eternal life by coming to church. We don't get eternal life by not doing bad things. Sometimes people think, well, if I don't do bad enough, I'll be good enough to go to heaven. That doesn't even save us. Well, I want to share with you in the next few moments what the Word of God says. In fact, listen to this statement here. Today, there is a class in our world who are self-righteous. Listen to this statement here. Listen, please listen. There are a class today in our world who are self-righteous. They are what, everybody? They're self-righteous. They are not gluttons. They are not drunkards. They are not infidels. But they desire to live for themselves. Now, hear me now. They're not drunkards. They're not gluttons. They're not even infidels. It's not that they don't believe in God, but they desire to live for themselves and not for God. Now, I'm talking about how many options do we really have as human beings if you really want to live? Think about it. He is not in their thoughts, talking about God. Therefore, they are classed with unbelievers. They're classed with unbelievers. I'm trying to make this thing simple today, right now. Listen to me. I'm going to read it again. Today, there is a class in our world who are self-righteous. And self-righteous mean those people who think they can do certain things to merit what God wants them to have. They are not gluttons. They don't drink. They're not drunkards. They're not infidels. It's not that they don't believe in God, but they desire just to live to themselves. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be in that religious stuff. Y'all keep that to yourself. I don't want to be bothered by God. I want to just be non-denominational, or I want to be in a church where I don't have any laws and rules. I want to be in a place where I can just do what I want to do. I hear you and I understand, but I want to bring to our finite minds infinite truth. He is not in their thoughts, talking about God. Therefore, they are classed with unbelievers. Were it possible for them to enter the gates of the city of God, they could have no right to the tree of life. Listen. For when God's commandments were laid before them with all their binding claims, they said no. So in this life, listen to me, in this life, we have an opportunity to say yes to God, because if God allowed us to go to heaven because we said no to him on this planet, he could not give us access to the tree of life because we would live forever. Therefore, notice, for when God's commandments were laid aside, they said no. They have not served God here. Therefore, they would not serve him hereafter. They could not live in his presence, and they would feel that any place was preferable to heaven. Can you imagine that? They would prefer being anywhere else than heaven because they did not tune their minds on how to serve God right now. That's why when you come to church, this is practice. He's given us an opportunity to learn how to lift up our hands and bless his holy name. He's trying to give us a chance where we can praise him and worship him. He's trying to give us instruction on how to live, so when we walk out of here, we can walk right and talk right. God has given us probationary time to fix the problem that's in our heart, because the sinner has no desire for God. I praise God right now that he's given me time. The fact that you woke up this morning and was able to walk away from your bed, he gave you more time. The fact that you got in your car and you were able to drive to church and no accident or no mishap, God has given you more time. The fact that you're listening to me right now, God is giving you more time. And all I'm trying to say is God is trying to give us time so that our hearts can begin to walk and talk like Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters, how do we get that eternal life? You know, we're reading right now the Gospel of John, and I want to share with you some things. Number one, in John chapter 1, and I'm not going to keep you long. It's 12:54. I'm only going to keep you just a few more minutes. I want to show you this. In John, the Gospel of John, he is the gospel writer who, the only writer, the only apostle, the only disciple who did not die a horrendous death. He just simply stopped living. He was so full of the Holy Ghost, he couldn't even boil in oil. I mean, this brother was so full of the Holy Ghost, they just put him out there on a Patmos, on an island all by himself, and he just died because he just aged out. He was the one who was able to see the miracles and blessings. He was able to look into the presence of Jesus and see something that no other disciple saw. He is the one. In fact, check this out. In John chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit said, John chapter 1, he says, I am the light of the world. You know there's three things you and I would be have problems with if we didn't have it. Number one, light. How many of us want to live in darkness? I mean, think about it. Nobody wants to be in darkness. Where there is darkness, there is no assurance. Where there's darkness, there is no positivity. And that's why in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, and in Him was the light, and the light of man. Notice what it says here. And the light shines in darkness. John says, first of all, this man, Jesus, is the light of the world. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might do what? Believe. Do you believe in the light today? That's what he's saying. The light was the light of the world. And John says he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. In other words, you and I need light today. If we have light, we're able to understand and see the things of God. And that's why when you read the Gospel of John, there are three things that's there: light, sight, and belief. You heard me say it before. He wants you and me to see what God has given to us, the light of the world. And then the next one is, you go to John chapter 5, where the Bible, in John chapter 4, you talk about light. Now you have living water in John chapter 4. That's something you can't live without. You can't live without light. You can't live without water. The Bible says here in John chapter 4, he says, I am the living water. Remember when he met the woman at the well? Y'all know that, when he met the woman at the well, and the woman had problems and issues, and she had been looking for love in all the wrong places. And when Jesus meets her, he asks for some water. And the woman said, how is it you being a Jew asking me, a Samaritan, for water? And notice what Jesus says in verse 10 of John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In other words, we can't live in darkness without light, nor can we live without water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. That's why we need Jesus. He is the living water. And he gives us hints and clues in the Gospel of John to let us know that you need light, you need water. But then lastly, in John chapter 6, and this is where we're going to hang around, John chapter 6, he says, then you need bread. Amen. In other words, light, water, and bread is something that he promised you as a child of God. And when you have light and you have water and you have bread, he has met that quota. He says, David said, I've been old and I've been young. I've been young and I'm old. I've been both. I've been up and I've been down, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. In other words, God is the bread of life for the person who comes to him, and he will in no wise cast him out. Notice what the Word of God says in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 26, the Word of God. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus had just performed a miracle in John chapter 6, where he fed 5,000, took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000. 5,000 people were fed, and because they saw the miracle, they said, now I'm going to hang out with Jesus, because there's nothing like having somebody who can meet your needs. And the Word of God says, do not labor for the food which perish. And then verse 28, then they said to him, now watch this. This is it right here. Verse 28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? That's the question right now. Every person should be asking, what can I do to work the works of God? Now, notice what the Bible says. Here it is. Then they said to him, notice what it says. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Why? I keep asking that question. Why? Why is it Jesus? I mean, is there any other name? The Bible says there's no other name. There is no other system. There is no other program. There is nothing that can remedy our problem. There is no other way out. Come on, believe me. In other words, Jesus says, this is the work of God. You want to do what God wants you to tell you to do? You want to follow God? Then notice what he says. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Now, he doesn't even say it's me. He just said what you need to do is find out who God sent and believe him. And the good news is this. God did send help. That's why we're not alone. We're not by ourselves. He sent hope and he sent help. You are not in your situation without hope right now. I'm so glad. I'm thinking about it. God has sent hope for us. You're not called. In other words, notice, I'm going too fast. This is the work. What is the work? That you believe. Believe what? Him that sent him. Believe who? Well, who is he? That's when they begin to ask. Well, who is he? How do we get to know him? What's the hint? Where is he? Verse 30. Knows what the Bible says. I'm just giving you this Bible study. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? What you going to do? What you going to do? And notice how he responds, brothers and sisters. And they said this, our fathers ate manna in the desert as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then verse 32, get this, don't miss it. I'm glad we got the Bible. Listen, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I can say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Moses didn't give you anything. That manna, that's not the bread from heaven. No. Let me tell you something. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Listen to me. The Bible says the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they were barred from the tree of life. They had no access to life now. Now, eventually, they will die. And the reality is all of us one day will die. That's a truth that cannot be argued. We will die. We will have a funeral. Somebody will come to your funeral. Somebody will come to my funeral. The Bible says the living know they shall die, but the dead don't know anything. The reality right now, brothers and sisters, is yes, we all will die. It sounds like gloom and doom. I don't want to hear that. But the truth of the matter is, because Adam and Eve and all of his children no longer have access to the tree of life, we're all on a cadence and a march to death. And unless somebody comes down from heaven and brings life, we will not live. That's the truth. You believe that? I believe that. In other words, unless God intervenes, unless God steps in, unless God does something, we are all going to die without hope. And the devil would love for you to believe that you can do something to fix your situation. You think about it. When you read the obituary, you read people become 80 years old and we celebrate, 90 years old and we celebrate. And we hear somebody 105 and we celebrate. And we live and be 102 and celebrate. But the reality is that eventually we die. And I can't accept that. There got to be something more to the story. Just to live this life and go through this life with trials and difficulties and ups and downs and problems and situations and then die and that's it? No, I don't believe that. I believe we serve a God who made Adam and Eve in his perfect image and they sinned against God. But God said, that's not the end of the story. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and I'm going to break his head and he's going to clip my heel, but I'm going to make a way out of no way. And he that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so in John chapter 6, he says, no, let me tell you something. The bread that comes down from heaven is what you need. Notice what it says. He comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am. That's what he says in verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the way we get back to the tree of life is by via Jesus Christ. In other words, he is the one now that's offering life. We have no access to the tree of life because the Bible says in Genesis, he took the tree and they're barred from getting the tree because if they had access to the tree, they would live in an eternal state of sinfulness. But he took the tree from them. So when the wages of sin is death, it's death because we don't have access to life. Can you think about that right now? We don't have access to life. You say, why am I living? Grace. Why am I breathing? Grace. Why am I still here? Mercy. Why am I still living? Because of God's judgment that's withheld because of mercy holding it back. Why am I still living? Calvary. Why am I still living? The cross. Why am I still living? The resurrection. Why am I still here? Intercession. Why am I still living? Because of a priest, a mediator, a mediator who stands between me and God, saying, pleading the blood. The only reason why I'm here is because of the word of God, who is Jesus Christ, who is the true bread that came down from heaven. And if you read John chapter 6, can I just read it? Listen to what the Bible says. If you don't believe me, when I ask the question why it has to be Jesus, it's because he says, I am the true bread. I'm all you need. I'm everything you need. Listen to what he says. He says, I am the bread, and you've got to learn to eat from me. Church attendance is good, but if you're not eating the bread, you're missing the mark. Oh, yeah. Giving your alms to the poor is great, but if you're not eating the bread, that's not enough. Yeah. Doing good for others is great, but if you're not eating the bread, that's not good enough. We've got to go to the fountain and we've got to go to the baker and ask Jesus to give me the bread of life. I've got to sit at his feet and eat the bread. How do I know it? It's in the text. Notice what he says. I am the bread of life. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. Verse 37, let me just read the text. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Amen. He says, if you just come to me. That's what he says today, brothers and sisters. That's all I have to say. In other words, I said, why is that the only name whereby we must be saved? He's the only access. He's the only one that came down to offer us bread that gives us life. In fact, he don't even offer us bread. He says, I am the bread. He doesn't give eternal life. He says, I am eternal life. He doesn't make the resurrection happen. He told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection. In other words, Jesus is everything and everything in between. That's why he could say there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's no other option. Yes, I'm narrow-minded. Yes, I have my mind fixed on Jesus because the Bible says he is the only way. Notice what it says. Verse 20, 38. The text can be on the screen. And I'm almost finished. It's 107. I got to hasten. For I have come down from heaven. Notice again. I have come down from heaven. God takes the initiative. God took the first step. If he had not come down, we could not have access to life. I want that to marinate. I want that to sit. In other words, we don't get life because of our religious duties. We don't get life because of our rituals. We don't get life because we read the Bible. He says it over there in John. Notice what he says here. If you don't believe me, notice what he says. You don't get brownie points for reading the Bible. You get brownie points only when you eat the word. And you say, well, the word is the Bible. Well, some people eat it, but it doesn't have uptake. That's why people who need insulin, because they take it because they're diabetic. In other words, I can eat the word, but it doesn't mean I'm eating it and it's uptake in my body. I got to have it to massacre. I got to go all through my system. It got to go through all my body. In fact, if you don't believe me, I got a quote here. In fact, the Holy Ghost just now said, here it is. You don't believe me how it works? Here it is right here. Listen to how it works. This is powerful right here. When the gospel is received in its purity, listen to me, and its power, it is a cure for the maladies that originated in sin. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. Not all this world bestows can heal a broken heart or impart peace of mind or remove care or banish disease. Fame, genius, talent, all are powerless to gladden the sorrowful heart or to restore the wasted life. The life of God in the soul is man's only hope. I hope you hear me today. The life of God. Now, how do you get the life of God in the one he sent? How do you get the life of God? Eating the bread. Listen to what it says. The love which Christ diffuses through the whole being is a vitalizing power. Every vital part, the brain, the heart, the nerve, it touches with healing. By it, the highest energies of the being are roused to activity. It frees the soul from the guilt and sorrow. Amen. How many need to be free from some guilt and some sorrow? I don't know about you, but there's some things that I want God to take out of my experience. There's some things I don't want to think about. There's some things I want God to get me over. They say more people lose their minds because of guilt. More people are ruined because of guilt. I need somebody to banish guilt from my soul. Notice what it says. It frees the mind from anxiety and care. In fact, The anxiety and care that crush the life forces, with it comes serenity and composure. It implants in the soul joy that nothing earthly can destroy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in health-giving, life-giving joy. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. A joy. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy simply says, I don't care what's going on around me because I know who's in me. Happiness has to be happening, something around me, circumstances and events. But I'm so glad right now that all I need to know is the word. Listen, as I close right here, it says, I'm about to close. I want you to read for your homework, John chapter 6. You got to read the entire chapter. And here's the footnotes. Notice what he says. This is the will of Father who sent me. All who's given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. Can you think about that? He says, everybody that my Father has given me, I'm not going to lose anybody, and I'll raise them up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. God says, I got you. No problem, no weapon, no situation. I've covered you with my blood. And notice what he says here. The Jews then complain about him because he said, they got upset. The next verse, verse 41, I'm almost finished, I promise. The Jews then complain about Jesus. How are you going to complain about Jesus, who is the very source that you need for life? And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to talk us out of our source. You and I can't have eternal life without him. Notice what it said, verse 42. Then said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he says, I've come down from heaven? They couldn't understand that. They said, how did he come down from heaven? It was a miracle. He took a little girl about 17 years old and wrapped himself in an embryo. I don't know how God did it, but he humbled himself, even became obedient, even unto death. He stepped down from eternity, took off his home court jersey called divinity, wrapped himself in his away jersey called humanity, and became a little baby inside of a woman, grew up, was born. The devil tried to take him out. He was 12 years old. Even when he was, before he was born, Herod had all the children tried. Think about it. Jesus placed himself in harm's way so that you and I might have life. I don't know about you, but that makes me rejoice. Maybe I'm not communicating it well enough, and maybe that's the reason why you haven't jumped out your seat right now. But think about it. He says, I have come down. It was God that took the first step. It was God that took the initiative. It was grace that came looking for me. It was the hound of heaven that sniffed out my tracks. It was because of Jesus. He said, I have come down from heaven. And therefore, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Don't let that upset you. I know you don't understand it. You look at me as I'm a human being, but no, long before I was a human being, I am. I'm God all by myself. There's none other like me. I was the angel that led Moses. I was the angel that spoke to him out of the burning bush. I was the angel that helped Joshua take out Jericho. I was that angel. I know I look like I'm incognito. I'm holding it down right now. That's why even when demons would come up on me. They say, have you come to destroy us before the time? I would tell them, no, not yet. There is a day for you. I'm not dealing with you right now, but in the name of Jesus, come out of him. In other words, Jesus is the reason. Jesus, we're going to celebrate his birthday. I know he wasn't born on December the 25th, but he was born. He said, I've come down. So that's a reality. Nobody can refute that. Nobody can deal. In other words, notice I'm reading the text and I'm almost finished. I've got to get you to read the text. He says, no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. In other words, you can't even come to my daddy unless he draws you. That's something. There's nothing in us that wants God. We were born enemies of him. And for a miracle to take place, it has to be the power of God. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians verse 1 and 14, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. And the mere fact that you have an appetite for God is a miracle in itself. And the fact that you are sitting here means that God is drawing you. And if you just keep on coming and you keep on showing up and you keep on showing up at the dinner table and keep eating that bread, something's going to happen to you. That's what it says in John chapter 6. I'm closing right here. It says, no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Those are some bold words. God said, I'm going to raise him up at the last day. So God is making a promise. I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Whoever come to me, if you die, I'm going to raise you up. Even though you don't have access to the tree of life, you got access to me. And I am that bread that have come down from heaven to give you eternal life. It's in the text. No one, notice, no one came for me. And notice what the text says. It is written, the prophets, I got to slow down. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father, they come to me. In verse 47, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. How do you get back to the tree of life? Through Jesus. You can't get to the tree of life without Jesus. I promise you, the tree of life is your panacea. But how do you get to it when angels, cherubims, in fact, I'm told in the spirit of prophecy that that angel, before he was guarding the cherubim standing there at the entrance, before the Garden of Eden was taken up, they would come, Adam's sons and daughters would come and look over at that garden and see what they had before it was taken up before the flood. Their worship experience will be just seeing what God had made for them, seeing that beautiful garden, seeing where they couldn't go any longer because cherubims with swords stood there to guard it. They had no access. I can imagine there had to be somebody in the crowd trying to get through the border. Somebody trying to get to the tree, but they couldn't get to the tree because it was guarded. And as long as they couldn't get to the tree, they couldn't have life. That's why in chapter 4, after chapter 3, when they had no access, think about it. Read chapter 4 of Genesis. I'll tell you what it says. Abel and Cain got angry with his brother and killed his brother. And now death is beginning to be experienced for the first time because they had no access to the tree. Can you imagine what Adam must have felt? I can't get to the tree. The Bible says, as I close, as he plays, verse 51 says this, saints. You got to read it. Jesus said this. He can play now. He can play because I want you to know I'm still, I got to quit. But he says, I am the living bread. That's verse 51. I'm the living bread. I wish I could give you something else, but anything else would be a counterfeit. The living bread. It's not even about how many sermons you hear. It's not about how many. It's about living bread. In fact, I told you in John chapter 5, Jesus rebuked them because in verse 39 of John chapter 5, I know I got them doing some work. John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify about me. So that's a rebuke. He says, y'all think the power is in the scripture? No. The scripture is about me. And he says in the next verse, but you won't even come to me that you can have life. And so it's always by the word of God. It's by the word. And notice as I close, the last part of the text says this. In chapter 6, whoever eats my flesh, verse 54, here it is. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's verse 54. Verse 54. John 6, 54. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I got to put this in your spirit. It's a thought. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, who eats this bread will live forever. My brothers and sisters, all I'm challenging you to do is eat that bread. Eat the bread. Jesus says, in the beginning was the word. Listen to what these texts says. We are born again by the word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible by the word of God. We're born again by the word. We grow by the word. 1 Peter 2:1, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word that you may grow up in the word. Not only are we born again by the word, not only do we grow up in the word, but we are sanctified by the word. The word says, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. In fact, don't you know 2 Peter 2, 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept by the word. Everything is kept by the word. And then don't you know, by the word, 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remains of the coming of the Lord. In other words, by the word, dead people will live again. By the word. And lastly, by the word of God, everything is kept together. By the word will last forever. And that word is Jesus. All I'm trying to say today, do you know him? Is he your friend? Is he your savior? Are you eating the bread of life? Do you know Jesus? That's the question today. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Jesus stands at the door and knock. He says, if any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. I'll come in and sup with him. I'll come in and I'll sup with you. You know what that means? I'll come in and not just eat with you, but I'll let you eat the bread. And that's me, the bread. When I'll sup with you, I'll be the bread. And all you've got to do is eat the bread. And I'll give you eternal life. You want that eternal life today? Amen. If you want that life, why don't you stand with me so I can pray over you? You want to tell God today, I want that bread. I need that bread. I need access to the bread. Because I know that with the bread of life, I can have eternal life. Oh, whatever you're going through right now, sisters, my brothers, God got you. I'm praying for you. There may be somebody else who want to say, I need not only to eat the bread, but I need to give the bread my life. I have not made that confession. I have not yet given my life to Christ. There's going to be a baptism, and you want to be in that baptism. And you want to say, Lord, I want to trust you with my heart. I want to be ready when you come. If there's someone who wants to be baptized, say, yes, Jesus. You haven't been baptized yet. You're not a member of a church. You're not a member of this church. And you want to say, yes, I need the light of heaven to shine into my spirit. I need the living water to flow into my existence. I need the bread of heaven so that I won't want any more. Is there somebody here today? I don't want this harvest to pass and your soul be lost. You want to say yes to God before it's too late. I told you probationary time was given so that we can make that decision right now. You got to get access to something that will sustain your life. And we can't get to the tree of life, but you can get to Jesus. And Jesus said, I will not cast you out. And everyone my Father gives me, I will not lose. That's the will of God today. I'm praying now in the name of Jesus. Father, your word is plain today. Wow. We don't have access to the tree of life any longer because of our sinful state. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Lord, today, right now, we don't have access to something that can sustain us for eternity. Yeah, we're here right now. We're existing right now, but it's not permanent. We die. Loved ones die. Friends die. Children die. Parents die. Cousins and nephews and nieces. Lord, we die and it hurts. Death is an enemy, Lord. But you've made a way right now to answer. You're the cure. You're the panacea for us individually. That those of us who begin to eat the bread, those of us who accept you as our Savior, those of us who drink the living water, even though we die, you said you will raise us up again at the last day. You promised us that. You said you will raise us up, Lord. And with that promise right now, we want to eat the bread. We want to drink the water. We want to walk in the light so that when you come back, you can claim us as your own. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I don't know what they're going through, but I do know this. Whatever hell they go through, if they eat the bread and even if they die, they'll be raised up again and they'll see you in peace. Lord, right now we wait on you. We see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see you face to face. Yes, we got problems, and yes, we got issues. Yes, we got drama, but Lord, you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for coming down from heaven. Thank you for being our way out. Thank you for answering the question, why must it be Jesus? Because there's no other name. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. And today, Father, we are convinced with Scripture that we need Jesus. So save us when you come. Cover us until then. Bless us, Lord, and keep us until the day comes when you will break those clouds asunder. And you'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We long for that day, Father, and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus and all of God's children said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated for a moment of meditation. Please be seated for a moment of meditation. God is good, and he wants to keep on blessing us. Amen and amen.